KSCU Santa Clara presents. Robots Attack. Movies. TV. Video games. Comic books. Tech stuff. News. Music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at robotsattackme, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
All right, welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central talk show on KSCU Santa Clara. I am Joe, and with me is Caleb.
Hello, everyone.
We got Jen.
Hello.
And we got Super Jason.
Yo.
We're here to provide you with all the geek stuff that you desperately need in your life. So.
You don't want it, but you need it.
Exactly. It's not the geek information you want, but it's the geek information
you need.
You need.
And deserve.
Yes.
Because we love you.
Well, before I get to anything, Caleb has some awesome news, and I want him to share it.
Yes, I do have some pretty awesome news.
We're already in the news segment?
Well, this is the how we're doing part of that.
Oh, okay.
And mine happens to be big news. Yesterday, I got a job.
Woo! Yes! Woo!
I start on Monday, so that's pretty exciting. I'm going to be a user interface designer for a startup, and... yeah, get to work remotely and all kinds of fun stuff.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's you'll get to do stuff from home? Or,
yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the whole team is distributed. We have like 4 or 5 people over on the East Coast in Washington, D.C. area, and then we have the rest of the team, which is about, I don't know how many more, over here on California side. So, yeah.
Dang.
It's kind of exciting.
Nice. So what sort of...
It's kind of a big deal.
What sort of stuff are you going to be doing, you know, without, you know, if you don't want to go into like super detail, you don't have to, but just.
Well, user interface is the part of an application that you'll be clicking, seeing, or using to navigate through its functions. So like when you're in Word and you see.
I don't get it.
Get out. You're not a geek.
When you're using your application, you see like a button that has like the I slanted for italic. Like that's a piece of user interface design. It shows you what the function is and it allows you to access that function with it. What the team works on is a medical reporting systems where you push data, you have data, you throw it at this app, and it will generate a useful human readable report on the other end of it, ideally. So that's what the goal is, to try and make all of this massive amounts of science that's being done more human usable. So
can't be done.
Yes,
except by you.
Haha, yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yes, congratulations. I know you were starting to stress out for a little while there, and
yeah, it's not fun, and then
no, it wasn't.
To all of you that are still looking take heart. There is something out there, and the one thing that I found that is always very true is get to know people. Like, go to meetups in your area for startups, for things that are where you're interested in the. There's meetups everywhere for your interests, your field of interest. Go get to know people. Through that, it will surprise you what will come out of that. That's
yeah,
all I'm
saying. It's very much who you know these days. I mean, for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
There you go. Get involved with a community of people you want to be a part of professionally, and there's a decent chance that it will happen.
I agree.
Encouragement. Ding, 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 ding.
That's what I've been trying to do, and hopefully something will span from it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I congratulate you, good sir.
Thank you.
It's right. Very golf nice. Claps all run.
All right. Now on to more serious business here. What you been up to besides that?
Besides that. finishing up my portfolio site and and then got a couple of freelance things to wrap up, and learning more awesome good stuff every day, learning to design new things. Jen?
Me?
Yes.
You. So in a positive light, I have a little bit more free time, which is pretty cool. And I celebrated that new freedom by taking my 10-year-old niece, or 11. She just had her birthday. Yay!
Oh my goodness.
I took her to go see Iron Man.
Ooh.
And it was much fun.
Excellent.
I heart Tony Stark so very much.
It's a pretty long line for that, I hear.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you have a question for me? Yes.
Oh, no, I was just saying Super Jason.
Oh, well, now you had my hopes up, and Jason, it's your turn.
I heart Tony Stark also.
Back off, he's mine. Okay. We're going to have a fight.
Perhaps not in the same way. But, I've still been fiddling around with the Call of Duty a little bit, and still haven't achieved my goal of diamond plated guns, but I'm getting close.
It's getting there. It's getting there, right?
It's right around the corner. But yeah, generally I enjoy that quite a bit, even if it has taken a while.
What question? So when the things get diamond plated, does it mean like it's like a super shiny on the outside, or is it like diamond encrusted, like the skull
diamond encrusted?
Yep.
So it's like the MacGuffin from 50 Cent's game.
No clue.
It kind of looks like that. Yeah, that diamond skull.
All right. Fascinating. It's such a cool, such a funny idea.
My question though is,
yes.
Once you obtain this,
yes.
Can I call you Glimmer Man?
I'd actually appreciate that.
Okay.
So yeah.
All right.
I'm gonna call you Bling Bling Man.
All right.
Blingity bang. Blingity.
But I'm more looking forward to when Joe ends up say, first you see a glimmer.
Yeah. I'm waiting to do that as well. I'm looking forward to that. I'll have to watch Glimmer Man and like see that.
Just
that,
nail
that
all
that
the lines
again.
Down.
Yeah. First you just see a glimmer off his fat.
Oh, he's getting more fit again, I think. Wait, or what are you saying?
Well, in that movie, Steven Seagal isn't exactly in his top prime under siege above the law shape.
That's
marked
true.
For death
That's
shape.
True. Marked for death.
Death is marked.
On his calendar.
I've marked it.
Next Tuesday is death.
For all the criminals.
So how about you, Joe?
I'm working on now two. Well, I haven't started the second video yet, but the first video I'm working on, and then the second one I have to have done by the 14th. There's a contest with the Fuse game for fans to make like a 1 minute or less video using either it has to be stuff that you own, or they provide like a packet of files and you know, footage from the game and all that sort of stuff to put together a video. And the grand prize is $5,000. I could use $5,000, so
yes.
I thought, hey, why not? And worst comes to worst, I don't win the grand prize. If I can get high enough, it's something I can throw on my resume, at least say, hey, I got fifth place in this. That's something.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Drive some views to your channel as well.
Yeah. So, and then the other one is more Blood Dragon focused, so hopefully I can have that one done soon before the game is irrelevant and, you know. No one cares about it as much anymore.
It'll never be irrelevant.
You're still enjoying it, I take it?
I haven't gotten a chance to play more of it since when I bought it. I played it a fair amount and then just hadn't had the chance to jump back in. But yeah, it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So yeah, that's pretty much what I've been up to. So, moving on now to show business.
Because there's no
business like it.
Yep.
I should have turned your mics off.
Anyway. Oh, come on.
Anyway, obviously, we're going to have a news portion of Robots Attack, which we always do. We're going to have Caleb's Corner, I assume?
Yes.
Yes, all right. Hasn't failed me yet. Wave that data and you go, no, ah, damn it. And we'll have game discussion, which mentioned with Fuse. We all had a chance to play it, so we're going to talk about that in the game discussion portion of the show. And in the core, we have a topic that Jen has suggested, so I'm going to have her explain it briefly for you, you know, kind of tease it for the folks.
Yes. The topic will be, if you guys can hear that, the drum roll. I like it. It will be reality shows.
Mm.
Yes.
Reality TV.
Yes. Specifically the competitive sort. What you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to see more of, what could be abolished. That's later on Robots Attack.
Robots Attack. But before all of that, let's get to the new releases, shall we, Caleb?
Okay. Let's do it.
We've got coming out in the theater, we have probably the biggest release of the week, The Great Gatsby in 3D.
Yoo!
That's right. They shot this movie in 3D. No, it is not an action film or a sci-fi film or a Disney animated film, but it is in 3D.
More nouveau than your eyes have room for.
If you're not interested in seeing a Gatsby that is apparently great, we have also Sightseers. We also have a movie called Stories We Tell. We have No One Lives. Ooh.
Wow. It kind of spoils the ending in the title, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of does.
Maybe there's a twist.
Oh.
It's possible. It's possible. And for you coffee fans, there's Java Heat. I don't know if it has anything to do with coffee, but...
Are we allowed to talk about that one, or...?
I don't know. But there is Assault on Wall Street.
Ooh.
And I'll round it out with Aftershock. So there's just this, a little taste of what's coming out this theater. If you're interested in any of those, you can go and check them out yourselves.
Salt 2, Assault on Wall Street.
Not quite, but almost. If you're looking to expand your Blu-ray and DVD collection, here's some things that have come out. The Batman and Batman Returns Blu-rays have hit. Braveheart hits Blu-ray. The Great Escape. Heat. Jack Reacher. And Mama, the Guillermo del Toro produced film. He didn't direct it, but he produced
it.
So, there you go. There's some things to look for on the red box or to add to your collection if you're a big fan, possibly.
Go ahead and go for comics while I load up the
certainly
video games.
So we'll transition from there to the other major entertainment section that I do, which is comics. Batman and the Red Hood number 20. Suicide Squad number 20. This one's going to be kind of interesting because they're changing the cast and they're changing the creative team. So,
oh, okay. So it spoils the ending, is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying there's no ending to spoil. It's all new. Potentially. We shall see. Wolverine number 3. This one's going
to. Does that one spoil the ending too?
Well, it's got Nick Fury Jr. in it. So.
What?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Does he have both eyes?
No. Actually, he's...
He has what? None!
he's
totally blind.
if
Daredevil 2 / Nick Fury.
He's really Rutger Hauer's son from Blind Fury.
Clever.
Then Uncanny X-Force number 4. Superbia number 7. Damsels, subtitle Mermaids number 1. Chin Music number 1. And X... First in a mini series of 4. It's a vigilante story from Dark Horse. So
it sounds dark.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Okay.
Do you think there'll be horses in it?
Doubtful. Arcadia is a modern city, so I don't think that there's going to be any horses.
Oh, man. Well,
too modern, if you ask me.
I sometimes get Dark Horse confused with Bad Horse.
Bat horse.
Okay, well, there's a real exciting week in video games. We got Monaco, I think, is dropping on the arcade this week, even though it came out on a couple others before.
Okay.
Rift Rush, Ballpoint Universe.
Huh.
Sounds like a whole lot of pens to me.
Yeah. Mario and Donkey Kong Minis on the Move. Super Robot World. Lockdown Protocol. Salvation Prophecy.
I know you want to mention one in particular.
Which one?
Something about a D-O-double-G.
It's funny. That's not even listed on this.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, is it Way of the Dog or something like that?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, even though he changed his name to Soup Lion. So, anyway, yeah, huge week for video games.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of indie stuff.
Yeah.
Looks like, so check out some indie things if you so desire. So, yeah, that's all the new releases. Before we take our music break, Caleb's going to tell you how you can be one with Robots Attack.
That's right. We love it when you interact with us. So please do. You can start by following us on Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me. Or you can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words. And you can email us at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, if you just want one place for all of it, just one spot, robotsattack.me. So that's our own website. We have a button that says Interact, which has links to all the things I mentioned before, Facebook, Twitter, and email. And you can also find archive episodes and leave comments there as well.
Yes.
We like it when you interact with us. We will definitely interact with you over the air and over the internet. Please, yes. Please do.
We love you.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that didn't scare anyone away.
Yeah.
We love you. Is that better?
There we go.
There we go. That's guttural, more our style.
Like, from the gut.
Yeah. We love you. That's the robots. See?
There you go. See? Okay. Mm-hmm. That works also. I like that as well.
You need a childish guttural robot.
We love you. I don't know.
That's pretty good. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah. Right on the spot. So you can practice it during the music break and then maybe come back with it later on in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, before we tease some news topics,
yes.
We got a PSA.
Oh, yay.
Want to listen to KSCU even when you're not near a radio? Stream us whenever you want at www.kscu.org. or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound.
Sweet.
True story.
That is right. All right. Tease some folks with some news.
The world's smallest animation.
Oh, yes, I've seen it.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool.
I'm
excited.
Wait, what? How am I supposed to follow up that?
or something like that.
Changing money. Yeah.
Into what?
You'll see.
Ooh.
See, you got to tell. I don't want to spoil it. You're going to have to come back and find out for yourself. All right. Let's get to that break. I'm going to play a track called Tunnel Time from the band The Old Seas. From the album Floating Coffin. All right, we are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
That's right, welcome back to Robots Attack. We're now in the news.
In the news.
Who wants to start us off?
Jason?
Jason!
I don't want to.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll go first. I let off with, it's mentioned the world's smallest movie. That's right. It is a movie that was constructed at the nanoscale.
It's cool.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant like two frames or something like that. Not exciting.
It's 242 frames. How about that?
I'm impressed. Yes.
This has been certified by the Guinness Book of World Records that it is the world's smallest film. It was created by a team of IBM nanophysicists. Yes, that's a thing. And it's made using images captured using a scanning tunneling microscope, operating at near absolute zero and magnifying an image 100 million times. Each frame of the movie is approximately 1/20,000th of the width of a human hair.
Oh my goodness!
Are itty bitty 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 bitty. It's like the universe in reverse. It's like this is the you keep going down smaller, and there's still more small things. But the team was able to create images by making the surface of a material change at that level, and they can control each to the point where they can make an animation with it. So that's all new levels of control at a extremely fine scale.
Nanoscale.
At the nanoscale, yeah. So
in the nanosphere.
In the nanosphere, yes. Not the nightmaresphere. That's different.
No, yeah.
So yeah, totally awesome microscopic movies.
That's tiny.
Very, very small. And they got, and they, and there's 242 frames at that scale, and they're still like, even at that many, they're still smaller than the breadth of a human hair.
Crazy.
That seems pretty small.
Yeah.
I'd put that in that. If there's a category small, that's going in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's going in there. And if you want to see more of that story or see it,
you can't. It's too small.
Yeah. Oh, it's very clever. It's very clever. Go to our Facebook page. We link all our stories there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who's next?
And I'll go now, I guess. Even though I feel like I still can't stack up to that. But hey, I'm going to go for it. Okay. Money. We're all used to it. And we're all used to things like credit cards and crazy things like that, right?
Yeah.
Well, what if we sort of combined them? Mm. Like, make cash so you could keep track of it electronically.
Wait, what?
Aren't they already doing that a little bit?
Well, okay. They've been playing around with the idea of putting RFID tags in cash for quite a while. Problem is, even with RFID tags being as small as they are, they're still too big to fit in something that you want to be able to fold and put in your wallet and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well, some researchers have figured out how to basically print all of the all of the little bits of the RFID completely flat instead of having them be in any form of microchip, which before it was too thick for a piece of paper, but about right for like a credit card or something like that. But now it might be possible to actually put it inside of a piece of paper, especially a pretty tough piece of paper like a bill or whatnot.
Oh, okay.
So the implications are kind of interesting, though. Basically, you can register the money that you have, and if it gets stolen, you can basically catch the person who stole it and get your money recredited to you.
Huh.
Where I don't quite understand is it has to be able to like track the money wherever you actually do spend it and so on too.
Uh-huh.
So you have to create this entire network that is able to track the money in the first place.
And track you too at the same time.
Well,
dun, dun, dun.
No, we're not supposed to be thinking about stuff like that. That is dark and whatnot.
Because your government would never do anything like that.
And it's not like we already have three or four of these things already in our wallets, most likely, anyway.
Fair point.
Yeah.
I have a cell phone, don't you?
Yeah. I don't want the government tracking me. Are you on Facebook? Yeah. Are you have a cell phone? Yeah. Do you have a DMV?
Use the internet.
Yeah. Do you use the internet? Yeah. Well, you're already being tracked, sir.
Right. The possibility is there. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So yeah, setting stuff like that aside, it's still kind of an interesting idea as far as being able to actually keep track of your cash, what you have on you, and if it departs from you somehow.
Okay, that could be interesting. Like, you have an app in your phone, like when your wallet gets too far away, it starts buzzing at you or something.
Well, I was thinking more of thievery and whatnot, but...
That too.
But yes, self-thievery could be a problem.
Oh, my wallet.
Oh, the couch stole it again.
Yep.
Couch.
Just need to install an RFID scanner in your couch, and that way it can communicate, like, hey, dude, I borrowed your wallet.
Right? This would make Where's George obsolete, though?
That's, yes. Yeah.
Up to a point.
Clooney? That's
no, it's the website that tracks dollar bills as they circulate around the country.
Oh!
Yeah, and granted, you have to actually log in and then put in the number on it, but, you know, it's pretty cool. Like,
people
had,
do that?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. I do it every time I get one. That's all, where's Washington? Where's George? Like, I want to know where George has been. I'm that kind of dork.
That's cool. Hey, yeah. We all do stuff. We all true. We all do
I do
things.
Nothing.
That's a sort of a stuff.
Yeah, it was actually funny. I did one years ago, and then I got an email like a few months ago. It was like, oh, yeah, you remember you did this? I'm like, what? Who the heck is this? Where's George? And so like, I registered in something like 2006. And it was all like, your dollar has showed up in Washington or something. And there was like...
apropos.
And there was no activity in between. So other people just weren't participating. But it was just like, what's going on? I know.
Man, they were people like me. That's like no fun at all.
Not one bit. But something that is fun before Jen gets to her story is San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
Sweet Alrighty. Stuff.
Sweet.
All right, so
Jay told you to never call him that.
Alrighty, so my other story is
you're just gonna stop Jen from doing her story.
Hey. He said Jay, so I'm like, what?
I said Jen.
Jay,
oh, I'm
Jen.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I was
way
distracted.
Too many Jay names.
you mean Caleb?
Him too.
Yeah.
Who's this jerk Caleb guy? I don't know him.
Okay.
Sounds shifty.
So, I don't have a segue from RFID money to, you could pay money for this thing.
Just
yes.
Simply
there
say,
you go.
Segue!
Not the vehicle thing.
So there's this nifty little gadget coming out this month, from Leap Motion, where basically it's this little sensor that you put it in front of your keyboard, and it turns your screen kind of like into a gadget like a Wii. It reads your hand signals, and then you can manipulate whatever's on your screen. It's pretty cool. There's a video on YouTube where it shows, you know, what it's capable of. And kind of going back to the Iron Man thing, you know, the way he manipulates the stuff, you know, the all 3D, just, you know, kind of a swipe. It does the same thing. Like, they show somebody browsing the web, and you just do sort of the swipe motion, you know, to the left, and then it'll go to, like, the next page, up and down sort of stuff.
To the left?
To the left, to the left. Everything you own in a box to the left.
From the
sorry.
Right to the left.
Back into the left.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. You've got some other stuff. I mean, you can hold up a stylus or a pen. It doesn't even have to be a specialized thing, you know, and you can draw basically onto your screen like that. It's pretty cool.
Neat. And I'm looking at the videos, like, it also does 3D. Like, it will sense, like, forward and reverse motion from the screen.
Yeah, and that's why it's this little flat thing that's in front of your keyboard, so it can read in a totally three-dimensional way what your hands are doing. It's pretty sophisticated. It can tell your pinky from all your other fingers. It can actually tell which finger is doing what, so it can get pretty sophisticated with their movements. They show them playing video games. They have first-person shooters where I think it was doing like a Jason's making fun of me over here.
Super Jason's pointing his finger like a gun, naming it around, being silly in the studio.
Yes.
Just,
yes.
You know, since we're on the radio, people can't see it. Yeah, so.
Stop it, Jason.
That was just for you guys. I'm not sharing my gold with everybody.
But yeah, so they showed it, the user doing like a pinching motion and then it would fire. And then, you know, just unpinching would stop the fire. So it's pretty delicate. It's pretty awesome.
So basically you get to do the I cush your head thing.
Yeah.
In video games now.
Grab an RPG. Have it. I cush your head. Cush, cush, cush. Such a little weenie. Cush, 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 cush.
Kids in the hall have invaded your computer.
Yeah, so yes. That comes out this month, and it's not too expensive either. So
yeah, it's only $80. Only it's under $100.
It's under $100, yes.
I'll edit that out in post. No, just kidding. Okay, well, so from computer thing to sort of another computer thing, this story I grabbed from IGN. It's Google Glass violates Nevada law, says Caesar's Palace.
Dun, dun, dun.
I heard about this.
Yeah, Google Glass is already hitting roadblocks, and the wearable computing device isn't even available to the public yet. A lone Seattle bar has already banned the Google Glass. I heard about that. And now a Las Vegas casino says the device violates Nevada gambling regulations. According to Computer World, Caesar's Palace will not allow patrons to wear Google Glass while betting. Quote, Nevada gaming regulations, and those in other states as well, prohibit the use of computers or recording devices when gambling, says a Caesars representative, telling The Verge. As a result, we cannot allow guests who are gambling to wear Google Glass. Granted, this really should not come as a surprise. Casinos have always prohibited gamblers from using recording devices like cameras while playing. If you've ever sat at a blackjack table and tried to check your smartphone, you're probably aware the dealer is less than happy. Quote, there have been numerous instances around the country in which people have used computers or cameras secreted elsewhere to keep track of cards in blackjack games. There's a shock. When they were caught, they went to jail. Another shock. If you're going to be getting the Google Glass, doesn't look like you can use it in the casinos.
That's quite not a shock.
I know that just devastated Caleb because he is a hardcore casino gambler.
Yep.
We
call him Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Casino Caleb.
With cheese.
Because he always is acting cheesy when he's in there and stuff too. Like, hey, ladies, want to see the Caleb gambling? Or I don't know.
Pretty much.
Something
like that. So from gambling to dog rescue.
Yay!
There is...
Segway!
Segway! There's a cool story that kind of profiles these five dogs that have been given a new lease on life, so to speak, with prosthetic limbs.
So a new leash on life?
Ah, nice.
Wait, that would be restricting, so... Have been unleashed on life?
A new unleashed on life. Wait, what? You may continue.
Yeah. You've
been given force powers?
Not quite.
Clever.
Oh, I see where you're going there. Anyways, the story highlights five dogs that have around the world that have get unusual sorts of accessories to help them restore their livelihood and their function. What the story at the top is a looks like a, I think it's a German Shepherd that has four artificial limbs to so it's pretty impressive.
Very wow. Cool.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't have any, so I'm jealous, sort of. I mean,
you don't have any German Shepherds?
Not a one. I don't even have a German cat.
Yeah, I don't know how you think your cat would mingle well with a German Shepherd. That'd be pretty cool to see. You think like
I think he'd ride it?
Yeah, like right on top. All right, let's go.
Meow.
It's pretty adorable.
So yeah, there's that.
On we'll to the go next. At once.
Okay, we're gonna go from that to clay pots.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Wait for it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm waiting.
Okay.
My pants are still on.
I don't know how to follow that up.
With the story, please.
Okay.
End of the story.
Good idea. Good idea. Okay. The TSA found something quite interesting in Fort Lauderdale. This is a couple weeks back now, but interesting enough for me to share with you now, I thought.
Okay.
Well, somebody... Okay. Somebody headed to Baltimore from Miami had been visiting Cuba, and they bought some clay pots just as, like, something to bring home. Like, eh, this is kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, they had skulls in them.
Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah. And the TSA was not amused by the skull pots.
Oh.
Well, apparently they were from a time in Cuba when people would create these things to ward off evil spirits. Mm. And it was sold as that sort of item, but people didn't really know. They just thought it was neat pot.
Neat pots.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. the police apparently believed that this wasn't done with any particular malice, since it was proven that the skulls were quite old and whatnot, and so Homeland Security didn't get too thoroughly involved. But
that's very good.
But still, yeah. Beware of the pots you buy in Cuba.
And other places, too. There's stuff that you just don't know about sometimes in other countries.
Ship them to yourself. Don't bring them on airplanes.
Perhaps look in the pots first before you...
Well, see, here's the thing. They were filled with dirt.
Oh.
And so it was just when it went through the scanning machine that it was able to see that the dirt also had a skull in it.
Oh, okay.
See, here's what I'm wondering, though. Because the images that I've seen of this... It makes me wonder, like, sort of the little ship in a bottle type of thing.
Uh-huh.
How did they do it? Because it was like an encased pot with the skull in it.
Well, if you did it by... if you did it, like, by throwing it...
Do you suppose they...
Or by the coil method, then you could put something in it and then coil it.
I forgot about the coil method. Okay, it would have to be low fire so it doesn't actually burn the skull and whatnot. But yeah. Okay, you got me there.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Got it. Hello,
congratulations. Congratulations, Detective Caleb.
Yes, it's high elementary, my dear Watson. My dear Jason.
Right. Well, I bid this story adieu.
Okay, I've got one that's going to, you know, make everyone super excited.
Yeah,
already
what is
there.
It?
Warner Brothers acquires rights for Dungeons & Dragons film. Warner Brothers has secured the rights to begin production on a film based on the Dungeons & Dragons role-playing game. Deadline reports the studio is already far along in its development using a script written by Wrath of the Titans screenwriter David Leslie Johnson. The current screenplay, called Chainmail, is based loosely on a game by D&D designer Gary Gygax, developed prior to the creation of the later well-known fantasy game. However, the script is being reworked to fit the Dungeons & Dragons universe. They're looking at, you know, because Game of Thrones...
Using the coil method.
Exactly. because Game of Thrones is super popular, they want to, you know...
What? No.
Capitalize on that. Here's the thing. So
Bunny is a mage.
Yeah, one of the producers is Courtney Solomon, and it wasn't familiar to me. But as I read the story, he previously directed and produced the Jeremy Irons starring Dungeons and Dragons film from 2000.
Oh,
so let's hope that
so he's
producer,
passionate about it.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, let's just hope that person doesn't have much. Involvement in the creative process, because that film wasn't exactly a highlight for D&D fans in a positive light.
What is?
It's a wonderful, Riff Tracks or Mr.
Yes,
Sad's Theater.
That is true.
But yeah, as far as quality, not so much.
Snails!
No.
Yeah.
Multiclassers to the rescue.
Exactly. So while you're listening to Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara, before we wrap up and get to this day in history, I believe Caleb has our robot story, or...
I thought Jason did.
Hey, I got your robot stories by the dozens here.
Okay, what'd you got?
Heck.
Caleb, you have our robot story?
Yes, I do. So, the fine folks at Make brought up, had a little event to show off, where people could show off their new ideas. One of the robots was a laundry folding robot.
Very cool.
Boo.
Yes, very cool indeed. The
thank you, Caleb.
I don't like my laundry folded. I detest creases. I like my clothing to be evenly wrinkled.
the rumple method, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, this group is a seven man team, and they have gotten a, they're self-funded at this moment, which means that they have complete control over themselves and their money, which is kind of nice. And they're working on a device that will help you fold your clothes. Basically, you put the shirt in, you press a button, and it does its thing. The idea is to sell it to places that do a lot of folding, like shirt manufacturers or laundry places. So it's just kind of a really neat idea. You know, it's like, this is a highly manual task. We can do something about that to make it a little bit less manual for everybody.
Yeah. Plus, it'll be awesome for elderly people or disabled people, stuff like that.
There you go. Yeah.
The frame from the little YouTube animation thing, it looks like a giant toaster.
A little bit. That's just a concept drawing, though, so it's not going to look quite like that.
I don't want to toast my shirts.
Oh, sure, you don't want them folded, but you don't want them toast. What do you want them, Jason?
What Jason wants
is... all the same.
What Jason wants is today in history.
Oh, good, because I got that right here. Okay, so I'm going
to... Segue.
So I'm going to start off with a little bit of a quiz for you guys. Okay? What actress can you guys use to connect Kevin Smith, Will Smith, and Denzel Washington?
Kevin Smith, Will Smith, and Denzel Washington?
Yes.
Can you make it a multiple choice question?
Okay, off the top of my head, let's see. I'm going to go with Reese Witherspoon, Rosario Dawson, and... Oh, her name just escaped me, so it doesn't matter because that's obviously not it.
I choose her.
You are correct that it was totally Maggie Smith.
Yes.
All right, well, I gave you two, so.
Dawson.
Yeah, Dawson's Creek. Rosario Dawson.
Yes, so today is Rosario Dawson's birthday.
Ah.
I'll do that for next time. I'll try and give you guys a multiple choice so it's not quite so obvious. But yes, she was born in 1979 today on May 9th.
Cool.
Yes.
And she's beautiful.
She sort of is, isn't she? Today in 1969, the first comic with the MC label was released. That is Marvel Comics to y'all.
Mm.
Yes. And
nice.
Then
Jack Kirby cover, too.
Ooh, somebody did their homework.
With a dinosaur.
Yep. Rawr.
Oh.
Rawr.
And I believe teenagers.
Yeah, well, that's most comics, honestly.
All right, and the last one I got for you guys in 1950, L. Ron Hubbard published, can you guys guess what?
Battlefield Earth?
Nope. Dianetics.
Oh. Dianetics. Yeah.
Volcano explosion, Dianetics.
Mm-hmm.
Yup.
Indeed.
All righty, so that wraps up our news portion of the show. We're going to take another music break and then come back with Caleb's Corner.
Yes.
Would you like to tease the folks out there?
This is going to be about a massive advancement in science and ethics.
Oh, you're such a tease.
All right. You'll definitely want to stick around for that. We'll be right back after this music break. We are Robots Attack.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
welcome back to Robots Attack. This is Caleb's Corner on KSCU Santa Clara. And this is the part of the show where I opinionate, and these opinions are not necessarily reflections of the thoughts and opinions of KSCU or my other co-hosts.
Or so, anyone, really.
Just me.
Aww.
So,
but we're cool with that.
Yeah. Just so.
Except when we're not.
Well, there you go. This story came, I saw it flow by and I thought this is too cool not to, to bring up. On April 26th is when the story, when this took place, a 2-year-old girl was given a new windpipe made from her own stem cells.
Whoa. Huh.
Yes, this is a breakthrough, breakthrough surgery, obviously, because up until this point,
did Steven Seagal get at her first, or what happened?
No, she was born without one.
She has been unable
to breathe, eat, drink, or swallow on her own since she was born.
Jeez. Wow, oh, that sucks.
And she's yeah. 2?
Yes.
Wow.
So she's now able to do all of these things on her own with using her own body tissue to replace herself. And this, I think, is one, totally awesome, and two, it's a big breakthrough for science. And also it shows, to me, I kind of highlights some of the ethical quandaries people were having about stem cell research several years ago. That was a lot of talk about banning it, stopping it, and part of it was the fact that at that time, embryonic stem cells were the best form of stem cells available.
Which I assume they didn't use on her.
No, I don't believe so. But because, there's a lot of people that would believe that, science without ethics is a little wonky.
Or German.
Ooh. All right, so...
we're going to sail right past that.
There's the obvious questions, like, how do you make or deal with stem cell research when the ethics of gathering said stem cells at the time was very, very questionable. And I commend scientists for saying, okay, we have an issue here. We need to figure out ways around it. And they did. They have found very brilliant ways around how to generate stem cells. They have now, I recently saw other research that showed that they have now created stem cells from grown adult cells.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So you can essentially now, anybody's body can now be the blueprint for making itself better, potentially. So, science, we salute you. And also ethical scientists or scientists that are willing to tackle the issues of ethics to further science and medicine, we salute you as well. I think that's totally, totally rad.
Absolutely. Wow.
So that's Caleb's Corner.
Nice.
Ethics does not need to be discarded in the ways of science. And just because you believe in science does not mean your ethics have been thrown out the window. There's a place and room for both.
Well said, sir. Well said.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Alrighty. Well, before we take another music break, Jen has our next PSA.
Oh no, it's too windy in here. Sorry. New Skin Adult Tattoo Removal and the Seven Trees Library will be holding its first annual Community First basketball tournament. The tournament runs Saturday, June 22nd from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and on Sunday, June 23rd from 8:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. Over 20 partner organizations and representatives will also attend to offer information and services, and free hot dogs will also be served at this family-friendly event. Sounds like a good time to me.
Yeah.
Definitely. The hot dogs have nothing to do with the new skin.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What was that about stem cell research?
Oh boy. Okay, so yeah, let's take that music break, and then we'll come back with the game discussion, where we're going to discuss the recently released Fuse demo. It's a four-player co-op game, and we got a chance to all play it, and we're all going to throw our 2 cents in on the demo.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be back with more Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Central Talk Show on KCU Santa Clara. We are now in the game discussion portion mm-hmm. of the show. We're going to discuss the recently released Fuse demo from the developers Insomniac Games. You may be familiar with them. They made the Ratchet & Clank series. Mm-hmm. So, gentlemen and lady, we've all had a chance to play. Who would like to start us off with their thoughts?
I think Jen does.
Okay. I do?
Yeah, well, you know, okay. you don't generally get a chance to... talk and plus about
she,
this. So.
She was the only one who played it in a vacuum, so
it's true.
That's true.
Interested in finding
that's true.
Mm.
Okay, yeah, it's true. So you guys, well, you did have an empty player then, right? When you guys were playing, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things I thought was interesting was that you can switch from character to character if you're the only one playing.
Yes.
Because every character, it's a four player co-op. And
the four players are always there.
They're always there, yes. And so, and they each have their own abilities. So if it's just you playing by yourself, the other three are computer controlled. And then at any given point, you can switch to a different character to use, you know, if they're in a better position than you, if you just want to get the heck out of the fire or whatever, you know, you can switch your character, which is pretty nice.
That's can you probably use it just like, position them in places so they can do things while you're doing stuff with somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not quite sure how well like the control, like if you're controlling character A, how you can control the other characters to go where you want. I think I accidentally pressed a button and I think I called them to me or something. I'm not quite sure about that.
Better with Kinect.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think there is some degree of control there, but I didn't play around with it much, and so I could be wrong on that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Plus, if you do roll solo, you can, since there's, especially it being an Insomniac game, there's various different weapons. So say, you know, your main quote-unquote character that you want to roll with mostly, like, mm-hmm. I don't really want to carry a sniper rifle, but I want at least someone to have a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
Bam, jump to another person.
Yeah.
Give them the sniper rifle. You can carry something else. And then at least you always have the option.
Right. So. Yes. Very cool.
So yeah. your thoughts on the game. Did you enjoy the demo?
I did enjoy the demo. I thought it was I'm kind of behind the curve on new games that come out, but this one was very realistically pretty, I should say. I was impressed with the graphics and the way that the characters looked. It was like, wow, that's impressive for a console game, you know?
Was there a particular character you controlled for most of it, or did you bounce through all four?
Yeah, I did bounce pretty much. Okay. Yeah. So I got a good, feel for what the characters can do, which is pretty cool.
Did you like anyone in particular? I don't remember their names, but
I don't either, unfortunately.
There's like a brunette, a redhead.
I think I remember all their names, so I just say what they look like.
There was there's one girl, right? Was there two girls?
It's two girls.
I don't remember now. So actually, it was one of the guys. There was the big beefy one, and then there was kind of the more slender one.
Right.
So which
one are you talking about?
I was expecting you to just chime in with their names there. The more slender one.
I don't know.
The slender one would probably be.
He's what that we think you said was the ex cop, or
yeah, I think that
yeah, he's like an XLA cop. I remember his backstory.
I think that one's Dalton.
Yeah, there. No, Dalton is the main guy.
Okay. Oh, here it is.
Dalton is Mr. Beef.
Jacob BB. Kimball is
Jacob.
The...
Oh, okay.
There you go. It's Jacob.
All right. Thank you, Jason.
Like Mass Effect 2.
Just like, no.
Yes.
Go on.
So that's what I start you guys off with. I mean, so you guys played together. What was your experience?
We played together for one thing. So.
Before we jump to that, since you played it solo, did you have any trouble with the AI controlled characters, or were you able to handle it?
No, I think they went pretty well. I had trouble with the boss fight. Yeah, I could see it's like, oh, they're all down and me too. Oh, this isn't going to go well. And it didn't go well, obviously. There was one point, I think it would have been kind of nice to have a little bit more direction sometimes. Like there's this one part where, you know, you clear the area and then they're all like, we need to get into the ducks. And I'm all like, okay, they're all standing there with their guns pointed at it. And I'm like, I'm going to do the same. Why are we doing this? How do I get up there? I don't get it. Where am I supposed to go? And it's, there's this little pipe that you climb up. It would have been a little nice to...
Which it taught you how to climb at the very beginning.
It did teach you how to climb, but I didn't know what to look for. Exactly. So, I mean, did you guys have any problem with that? Was it just me, my dork?
No, when we got to that point, I was like, okay, now where did everybody go? I ran around the long way to get out there, so I was like, wait, what's going on? Where is everybody?
Meanwhile, I noticed the brightly painted pipes.
They weren't that bright compared to the rest, compared to the rest of the building.
They were bright yellow.
And the building was a taupe
was like
color,
white.
So it's not like it wasn't all that off.
Yeah, see, it wasn't just me.
I guess I'm just used to looking for yellow things.
And
pipes.
I think you and I are in the same boat, Jason. I think because the beginning, like, that was the very first thing you do was, like, you climb these things that are
this
pipes
it might
or
come
sort
in
of
handy
pipe
for
shape.
Later.
So, but okay, so something maybe like an actual, like, highlight or an arrow or something like that maybe you'd
something,
prefer to have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, a little bit
it's
more
fair.
Hand-holding.
It's fair. Okay.
I mean, you could always be like something that happens like after if you've been sitting there for like a minute or so going like, what? You know, like have it like a little ping that would, you
or
know.
One of the other characters like up the pipe dummy or something. Like, oh, I just got chastised. You know, okay, now I know. All right, fine. I'll go up.
Yeah, that could be good.
Yeah, and I did notice there were times when some of the other characters that I weren't controlling would, you know, like they'd take like side cover and then they get shot at and go, oh no, I'm moving. Yes, thank you for moving, because why did you go there in the first place? You knew you were going to get shot. So, but it wasn't terrible. It wasn't like, oh, they're down again. You know, I don't think actually any of them went down until the boss. So that's a good thing.
Okay.
That's cool.
Well, before we get to the gentleman's opinions of the game, I'm going to tell you about some ticket giveaways. KSU loves you. That's why we give away free tickets to the best local shows. Our show personally doesn't do that, but the station does. You can see upcoming ticket giveaways by going to KSU.org and looking at our events page.
The station likes you better than we do.
We love you. We just don't have any tickets to give away because it's not really our show style.
Not that kind of thing. Yeah.
So, you know. So, yeah. So, Caleb.
Yes.
I turn to you, sir.
I like the game. The cover system took some getting used to.
Oh, that's right.
I spent a lot of time running over the cover and into enemy fire.
It was funny.
Because...
Explain what
because the sprint button, if you press it and move through the scene, as you come up to cover, it will automatically leap you over it. This is not a bad thing, but it's occasionally frustrating when you weren't quite meaning to go over it. You just wanted to run up to it and then go into cover. I ended up going over it.
So basically, what that means is, say a game like Gears of War. Going into cover, going over cover, all that is applied to one button. In this game, they've changed that to two buttons.
Yeah, anything to do with movement is the A button. Anything to do with cover is the B button. Yeah.
If you're using a 360. If you're playing this on the 360, which we are, obviously on the PS3, appropriate button.
X's and O's,
X and
I'm
o,
sure.
Yeah.
So, but yes, they split it up. So it does... take a little bit of your brain. If you're used to playing third person action games with, oh, like just applying all of that to one button, it does take a little bit for your brain to kind of wrap around.
Mm-hmm. And prepare for your shots, gentlemen, like Mass Effect does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did like in the cover system how, if you've got your back to it and then you with the camera over your back so you can see where the enemies are, and then you go to aim, it automatically takes you out of the cover, and then you shoot, and then you let go of the buttons, and you're automatically back to ducking. I really liked that. I really appreciated that.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah, the thing that I liked about them doing that was that it finally creates a system where... A lot of people have problems with the one button doing everything just because anytime it conflicts with something, like if you need to bring a guy up or you can get a guy like back in the action or take cover or jump over something and you end up doing one of the other things and end up jumping directly into a firefight or end up trying to get somebody back up when they're going to kill you. Because you're out in the middle of no place.
Yeah.
This kind of fixes that in a lot of ways. But you have to be ready for it, and you have to think about it at first.
Yeah.
But once you do, it's smart, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is definitely one thing I'll say about this is a frantic game, but it's also a very strategic style of gameplay.
Very much, yes.
Like, you'll kind of want to look around, get a glance over the battlefield before you run in. Because you'll want to, you have to shift which button you're pressing to do different actions, you'll want to make sure you kind of like, just like set your path for what you're going to try and do to get through it.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because the game frames itself in sort of a fun-loving criminals sort of way and then then turns into a fairly strategic game like that, which I actually really like that dichotomy. I think the characters are pretty good and like them having snappy comebacks at each other and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's pretty
yeah.
fun.
And then to tie along with what you said, Caleb, also, since they each have a special power, quote unquote, you want to use those strategically as well, to set up. Like, okay, throw the shield down, all right, and you throw the healing orb thing, and then whatever the other people do.
Yeah, charging bolts from a crossbow, and then there's the singularity rifle.
Yeah, and her main ability for herself, the Naya character, is that she has a stealth ability. So you pair her up with that rifle, and she can get to high positions and do sniper stuff and chain reactions and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, Caleb, how did you like it?
I liked it quite a bit. Despite my initial frustrations with the... having to remap my brain for the cover system, it's a really enjoyable game. Like, there's a lot of really smart things they did. The environment is actually really nice because since the game sort of has a strategic element, you want to use your environment to your advantage, and that's actually a lot of fun. It's like seeing like, okay, the enemy's moving that way. I have squad mates going over. My squad mates over there. Okay, I'll move this way. Draw the fire from the heavy machine so that they can work on taking out its power pack. And you can.
Yeah, and the enemies are kind of cool too. I mean, they have the stock like people in body armor, but the bosses are kind of neat. I thought.
Yeah, definitely for the demo, it's like, wow, those are kind of cool looking exoskeletons. Yeah, I liked it quite a bit. I would definitely say it's worth a trial for Shizu.
Yeah,
already.
I liked too, just me purely on a character design thing. Usually games like this, they tend to make the exact same body shape for every single character in the game. Like Gears of War, everybody was this big thug. Mm-hmm. Like even the women. Until I think the later ones, but... So between that and Mass Effect, where you actually have the same body on all of the characters unless they're an alien, it was kind of nice in this one having different body shapes, like two different body shapes for the men, two different body shapes for the women, so they're a little bit easier to distinguish and have kind of their own style to them also.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. So it sounded like you liked it as well.
Very much.
All right. Well, that's been our game discussion for tonight. We'll take another little quick break and then come back with the core. Jen?
Reality shows of the competitive type, more or less. What do you like? What do you not like? What would you like to see more of? What would you not like to see more of?
Alrighty, we'll be back with that after this quick music break. We are Robots Attack.
You are now entering the core.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSU Santa Clara. We're now on the core, where we are discussing reality shows.
Woohoo!
So, Jen, you brought us this topic. Lead us.
Alrighty. So, the first thing, but I guess what really got me watching this was on Penny Arcade, they're having, they have their own reality show called Strip Search. And it's basically they're bringing in a bunch of webcomic artists and they compete and do these things and then they vote each other off. And the prize, the grand prize, if I remember right, is a year in the Penny Arcade office.
Yes. And yeah, they also get highlighted on their website as well, I think.
Yeah. And there are different prizes along the way, which are pretty cool. But yeah, I've enjoyed watching it. And I was thinking along those lines. And I think really what made me think that we could do a topic about it was I really liked the dynamic of this particular show in that, like, everybody likes each other. Which isn't something that you get in reality shows. Because, you know, you can certainly say that it makes for better TV when, you know, all the contestants hate each other and they have these alliances and there's backstabbing and, oh my God, all these
Survivor.
Drama. Yeah.
Better, I think, is a relative term.
Yeah, that's a very subjective phrase.
Yeah. I mean, but that's actually really what got me onto this topic was that I liked seeing in Strip Search, oh my gosh, this is a lot more feel good to watch, actually. You know, these people are all rooting for each other. They all really care and they're not just out for blood for each other. You know, so
they
thought,
respect each other's skills, it seems to be like the big thing.
Yeah. So I thought we could sort of do a comparison of, you know, quote unquote popular, you know, reality shows and what we like and what we don't like.
And unpopular ones.
And unpopular ones. I mean, so I've already sort of thrown out, you know, the thing about this particular one that I really like versus what all the other ones we could do less of the, you know, the sort of cutthroat competition. I mean, and now and again, it's okay, but it seems like there's so much of that out there on these types of shows. I think, you know, this was like a breath of fresh air to me. It's like, oh my gosh, this is really great in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've never really adopted that many of that type of show. Like when Survivor first came out, I was kind of excited about it. I thought it was a cool idea and whatnot. And then they made it like, well, it wasn't the producers or anything, but the contestants made it completely like political, for lack of a for a better word, or lack thereof.
Yeah.
Sorry. So yeah, it just ended up being like, well, okay, I don't like this guy, but I really am watching the show to make sure he doesn't actually win it. He's not gonna win it, right?
And then
better
he
not
did.
Win it. Right. I mean, and yeah, that wasn't fun.
Yeah, I actually totally agree. That's I watched the first Survivor. That's actually the only one I've watched. And it was sort of the same thing where it was like, oh, this is cool. I'm enjoying watching these challenges. And all of a sudden, let's make an alliance. It's like, oh, now we're getting into like political intrigue, basically. And this is this is not what I tuned in for. And then unfortunately, it sort of set the tune for the rest of all the shows immediately. Hey, let's make an alliance. Hey, I'm going to backstab you. Except, you know, there's usually more yelling and not so much, you know, secret. Not so much whispering, especially with the backstabbing happening.
Yeah, I like less West Wing in my reality shows, personally.
Yeah, I can see that.
And the other thing that I have to admit, like, completely burns me out on them is my parents are, like, the biggest music competition show, like, reality fans in the world.
So, like, The Voice.
They watch every single one of them. they're always trying to make me watch, like, oh, you gotta see this performance that this person did. Uh-huh. And I've only really been impressed by, like, one or two of them out of the hundreds that I've been forced to watch. And it's not that it's a bad show or anything, and these people definitely have talent. It's just, oh, the song choices on that show are just, it's always, okay, how can I show off my voice the best? And it's always a song that's very good at that, but is not a fun song at all. There's no interest to it at all. Mm-hmm. It's basically the Bodyguard soundtrack over and over and over again.
Wow.
I can see your point there.
So, yeah. I like the contestants who choose to throw a little bit of rock or blues or whatnot in there, but that's so rare that it makes me, ah.
Yeah.
Well, here's something for anyone who is considering or thinking about suicide or knows someone who might possibly be. The suicide hotline. A hotline is available for those who are thinking about suicide. All calls are confidential and handled by trained crisis counselors. The hotline number is 1-800-SUICIDE. Yeah, you know, I don't really watch much reality television.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard for me to participate on this. I'm not a huge fan of them. I do like a couple. I would say, like this strip search one sounds mm-hmm. like more of what I'm would be interested in. I like the ones where either they're like making something
yeah.
or, you know, something cool in the end. Type mm-hmm. of thing than just the like game show-ish ones.
Yeah, actually that makes me remember the Face Off show. I actually enjoy that one quite
yeah,
a bit.
Yeah, my parents watch that. I'll catch that from time to time, but yeah.
What's that one about?
That's the special effects makeup show.
Oh, cool. I don't have cable. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can watch that one on Hulu, so.
Oh,
yeah.
Neat.
Yeah,
which I know you're afraid of, so you're probably not going to do it.
I'm not a huge fan of a lot of reality TV, but the ones that I do like Strip Search, and the other competition shows that I like is Iron Chef, both versions. I think they're both fantastic. I find them hilarious and fascinating all at the same time.
I was really into that show until like season 2 of Iron Chef America, and uh-huh. then it was just like meh. I don't know why. It's completely me, and it's me. It's not you, Iron Chef. It's me, but yeah. still.
Yeah, I'll catch like Top Chef from time to time. Also,
mm-hmm.
that was not too bad. And then the one I probably watch the most is Project Runway.
Uh-huh.
Even though that one does have like some sort of the, you know, competition. They like yell at each other and that sort of thing. And mm-hmm. I don't like that crap on it, but. I just like the stuff that they come up with.
Yeah, it's still a very creative expression. I like it.
Yeah, and it was, I forget who it was, but someone on the show mentioned it, and I hadn't really thought of it in a way. It was like, a lot of times there's stuff you'll hear like, no one's going to wear that. Like, you mm-hmm. know, no everyday person's going to wear that sort of thing. And they brought up it where if you look at it like it's creating art with fabric,
mm-hmm.
So where like a painter would use paint,
mm-hmm.
they use fabric to make art
yeah. mm-hmm.
in a lot of these. And so when I kind of looked at it that way, like, okay, yeah, it sort of makes sense now. They're using the female body to make this canvas out of fabric that
yeah,
they're
that
wearing.
Doesn't sound so bad.
So yeah, so it's like, okay, and it sort of made sense, like these things that, yeah, no one would wear mm-hmm. on an everyday, you know, out in the public, but... They're more, it's just like, it's an art piece. It's not really meant for wearability, per se. Like,
yeah.
You know,
it's intended to be seen and, but
and
not necessarily, but not necessarily like, yeah, everyday wear. It's like, it's a special event kind of item. I think, and that's one thing that about a lot of that fashion stuff.
Like when you need to wear something really good to a funeral.
I guess.
No.
We need a cricket soundbite.
Yeah,
but I think one of the things that like Strip Search and stuff like things like Mythbusters or some of the other like build a car competitions or what was the, that what the garage monster garage yeah. things like that, where it's like there's something at the end of it that's more interesting than what went into it to begin with.
That's
in certain
true.
Ways.
I will totally give you that, yeah.
Yeah, there's another one out there right now called Fast and Loud that I enjoy watching from time to time, too. That it's the same sort of thing. It's like an annoying front man with all the money mm-hmm. that goes out and gets the cars, and I hate him. But then he gives the car to all of the talented people in the garage, and they make like really fantastic art pieces out of these old, just completely destroyed cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it shows what something put in the hands of experts can be. And I think that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, when you're relying on more than just people to just yell at each other and make accusations and things like that.
Yeah,
that's when you know I think it really does sort of hit the mark on what these shows should be about,
or what they could be about.
Yes,
which is also why I'm honestly like a much bigger fan of what you called the more documentary style. Like,
actually, so am I. I like those better.
Yeah, because there's none of that. It has nothing to do with that. It's just like, okay, here's the world, and it's usually a part of the world that you wouldn't get to see otherwise. And so that's interesting to me.
Yeah, here are these people doing these things that they normally do, and you get to see it. How cool is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the strip search one is particularly good because it is about the creativity of all the people involved, and everyone isn't necessarily trying to win at the expense of somebody else, which I think you guys have brought up before, which I appreciate as well. And the fact that there's all these people like bouncing ideas off of each other like rapid fire. I've seen some stuff happen like that on Face Off too, where you see someone like kind of like they'll ask somebody something and they'll like come up with a really brilliant solution to their problem, and like then you know it just kind of there's like a refocusing of the energy like inward towards the show itself that raises the whole thing up, I think.
Yeah, going back to the documentary, those are probably the ones that I don't really care about at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because in my mind, those are, I mean, I know they're not all Keeping Up with the Kardashians and Honey Boo Boo and all those and
mm-hmm.
Dance Moms
Which
and
I
all
hate
that crap.
All of those that you've mentioned.
But yeah, it's like, those are, the documentary ones, like, unless it's on like a subject that I'm already kind of interested in,
mm-hmm.
then I might check it out. But if not, I probably will watch something else or would rather watch something else, which, mm-hmm. you know, hey, maybe I'm missing out on something really cool, but I don't care. There's way too much like made up created stuff that I need to watch that I'd rather watch.
Yeah. That's one thing that that's my one complaint about the proliferation of reality TV is like, one, I know it's really cheap and it can be compelling, but it's like, I feel like there's a loss of like strong narrative shows overall. Like, not that they're gone, they're never going to completely go away, but I feel like there's a certain dearth of them on television these days.
I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, a what?
Dearth, lacking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I knew that.
So yeah, I don't know. It's. So I guess the real TV like thing is like, it's cool, and I don't mind that there's some of it, but I feel like we need to tone it back just a little bit, scale it down just a touch. Maybe let some of these, maybe like go for shorter form stuff instead of like trying to fill like an hour every time. Like, let people do like 15-minute shorts or something like that, and like just string together a bunch of those. And you know,
in an ideal world, it would have never left the internet.
yeah. It's just sad when stations like the Learning Channel have like their biggest shows are like
the Honey, Hoarders and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, Honey Boo Boo.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like, yeah, you've fallen from what you once were. I mean, I understand you're now getting like way more ratings and getting more money, but it's just sad when it's the Learning Channel. This isn't what I should be learning.
we had to sell out because Discovery was kicking our butts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And history and every,
yeah.
all these stations that you never would think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's not quite as far of a fall, you know, the Learning Channel to Honey Boo Boo. But, I mean, like on the History Channel, I really enjoy Pawn Stars.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you can sort of see how, oh, okay, yeah, they bring in these old things, and you can kind of see where the history comes in, but okay.
it's a pretty despicable situation sometimes.
Is that the Detroit one?
No, this is Vegas.
Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting, and but at the same time, like, I just...
So did we answer? I know you had... You threw out some questions with this topic. Did we hit them all? Or
I would say so, yes. And our listeners can also tell us what they think as well. Caleb, tell them how they can do that.
That's right. It's never too late to chime in. You can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack. That's two words. And you can find us on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me. All one word. And then finally, you can email us, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if all of that just kind of like... You know, word salad, just couldn't get it all together. robotsattack.me. That's our own website. We have archive episodes. We have links under the interact button to all of the things I've already described. And you can also leave comments directly on the page there on particular post that you liked. So please engage more with us. We love it when you do. We will return in kind.
Yeah. Plus,
we wish to be engaged.
Engage.
And sort of one kind of final thing with the topic, we're old in some people's eyes. People that have kind of grown up with this, like, mm-hmm. probably have a different view on reality TV than
very,
you know,
good point.
It's, I don't want to say new for us, but you know,
for
those who have kind of grown up with it from high school and junior high and things like that.
Yeah,
curious to hear your opinion on these if they match any of ours or
very
whatnot.
Much so.
All right, well, that's been Robots Attack for this Thursday. We're here every Thursday from 7 to 9. Hopefully you enjoyed it as much as we enjoy doing it.
Yes.
Definitely stick around. Coming up next is the Pre-Funk Show.
Yeah.
Hope you all have a great weekend, and we will see you next week.
Raccoon, Veronica, Mistel.